welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 1, entitled Mercy. It's written by Scott Gimple and directed by Greg Nicotero, who have both worked on the show. Scott Gimple is the showrunner, Greg Nicotero is the makeup artist. Gary, what did you think of this season premiere in the 100th episode?
It was a pretty good episode. Very interesting. I'm still trying to figure out which timeline are we in. Are we in the old Rick? Or are we in the Rick giving the speech? Or are we in the Rick kind of breathing heavily, looking like D'Angelo? You know, it looks like he's sweating and everything.
Right.
Felatio, whatever.
I'm going to say, I think it's the sweating Rick is the current time.
Why do you think that?
Because we can't, I don't know, because he's right there in the moment. So I think everything that we saw at the beginning, the fight, whatever's happened to Pastor Gabriel has happened. It's done. Whether he, like, when we see Rick sweating, all that is in the past. I mean, for all we know, Maggie could have had her baby by now, you know?
Okay.
So I think the sweating Rick is present day. And then when it shows those fuzzy things, it's him either dreaming of the future or, yeah, I think that's what I said on Sunday night. I think it's just him dreaming of the future.
I'm not so sure, but I don't have anything to back it up.
Right. I mean, so we'll see.
But what do you think about future Rick?
Okay, so that's another thing. I hope we get to see future Rick throughout the episode. Like, I think that would be kind of fun if they keep that storyline going throughout. But he got old for like 3 years. I keep saying 3 years when we're talking about it to each other. Because in the beginning, before they go off to the war, the little baby, Judith, looks about 3 years old. And then in this, you know, magical timeline where they're building owls and having fairs, the girl there is probably only 6 years old. Possibly, I'll try to get seven. So I'm going to say it's only been like 3 or 4 years, and he just aged really fast for that short amount of time.
Right. It seems like he's the only one that aged. I mean, besides the baby.
Yes. However, if you're in a leadership role, I mean, you can really see it like when you compare presidents, like where presidents start in office and then what they look like when they leave office, and the stress of having so much authority, not authority, but so much responsibility on your shoulders is stressful and can age you faster. So I kind of look at it like Rick is the president of that world, and he probably has a lot of stress on him. So he probably did age a little bit faster than everyone else, because Michonne looked pretty much the same.
Right.
And then, like I said, the little girl, Judith, she was only a few years older.
Oh, good explanation.
Yeah. I mean, you can always use the baby's age to base off the timeline, you know?
Yeah, you're right. He's in a leadership role, so yeah, he might be aging a little faster. Might see the little grays in the hair, the little beard. But the cane, like, we was walking with the cane, and he bent down like, oh, hey, baby. I'm like, oh, they made him like older than he should be right now. But you may be right.
Well, I'm going to take the cane in consideration as far as he might have just gotten hurt. So the cane may be because he got hurt during war. You know, he might have actually had a permanent damage where he'd need a cane. So I'm okay with that. And the white hair, you know, people get white hair at age 20. So it really could just be like, oh, shit, we've been dyeing Rick's hair this whole time. And technically, he shouldn't be able to dye his hair. So it should be white. So, yeah.
They took the little curls out of his hair.
Yeah, they took the curls out. He has shorter hair. I kind of like the old Rick. I liked it.
Yeah.
All right. So the way this podcast works, if it's your guys' first time listening, we appreciate it. Thank you for joining us today. As we discuss our likes, our dislikes, and then we talk about any listener letters, and then we have an award and prediction. So, first like is Tara, how she's very chill, she has her shades on, she has the red vine in her mouth. She was just very chill throughout this episode.
Right, but she's been through a lot.
Yeah, so maybe she's just kind of like going with the flow at all times now.
Yeah, I don't think she's so scared or as scared as she was when we met her. You know, she done been with the ocean people. Her girlfriend died.
Yeah. Governor. She was with the governor.
Yeah, she was with the governor. So she's been around.
Yeah, I like that, though. She just makes it fun. And, like, even seeing her with Carol, I was like, that's an unlikely pair. But, you know, it somehow worked. But I would have loved to see more communication between them, because it's not like they really talked to each other. So I would love to see, like, what do they talk about? Yeah,
they were planning.
All right, so Dwight communicating with Daryl, I really loved it. There were some weird communications last season where I remember Daryl found the little toy soldier, like a little toy.
Yeah.
And on the back of it, it said, didn't know. And we're like, okay, that's bullshit. How did he find that little toy?
Out of everything.
Out of everything. And it was Daryl that found it. But in this case, these communications made sense. It was clearly that they were clearly communicating, not like, oh, I hope someone finds this note. It was clear communication.
Right.
So I liked it. So there's been a lot of callbacks to season one, episode one, and I didn't catch all of them, but I caught a few more after reading up on it. But the one I really liked, and I saw this a few weeks ago or a week or two ago before the episode aired, is the Carl callback with the side-by-side of him when Rick first got, like, when Rick first got up and he was walking before he met the little girl zombie with the teddy bear. So the side-by-side of Carl walking to the gas station with the canister was pretty much a shot-for-shot of Rick season one, episode one.
It was, but I didn't really like it. Not right here, not at this time.
Why?
Because Rick, when he was doing what he was doing, it was more like, I just woke up. I'm trying to see what's going on. This is all new to me. There's some weird shit going on. Carl, you know, they have him with the little gas can. You know, apocalypse be going on for a while.
Okay, so he should have maybe had his gun out. And then once again, why are you traveling alone? You never travel right. alone, especially. Well, he wasn't alone, but yeah, I mean, yeah, he was alone, essentially.
Yeah, so this was more like a callback just for the hell of callbacks.
Okay. I get it. Because even Rick said, hey, you were supposed to meet me here. But it's at the same time, it's like, why is anyone in the car by themselves ever? Like, right. you know? Especially a kid still.
So I wish they made it make more sense.
Yeah.
Like, Carl was there for a reason.
Or he got lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did it. It's the 100th episode. I get the, you know, the emotion behind it.
Well, could this be a transition?
That's what I saw a lot of people saying. Like, Carl could be the next Rick. Or are they preparing us for a show without Rick? And I definitely think they can do it.
Well, I mean, we've always said that maybe The Walking Dead is not about Rick. Maybe it's about Carl.
Yeah, and Rick all last night said, or Sunday night said, this is not about me.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And then even Michonne later on in one of our likes is Michonne saying, this is your show. So, to Carl.
So, I think they're making a transition. That's why they just threw this callback just right. So, black in the middle of this first episode. They're like, okay, let's start transitioning. Rick is about to get out of here. It's his time. Now let's start building Carl up.
Right. I mean, or it could be, you know, Judith's story.
Nah.
Eventually, little Judith is going to be like an old lady at the Titanic talking about, you know.
Telling the story.
Telling her story, yeah. But there's some other callbacks to episode one, season one, episode one, is at the end when we get at the top where we see Pastor Gabriel and Negan. That was like a similar shot to when Rick was stuck in the little truck or whatever, and when Glenn saved
RV.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's possible that someone will come and save Pastor Gabriel. Maybe the Traveler, I don't know. So, and the little girl that Rick had to kill, the first zombie that we saw.
You know, that scene was a little dislike for me.
Which one?
The Pastor Gabriel and Negan.
Yes, and we will definitely get there. We're going to get there. That's because it's kind of a like/dislike, I think.
Yeah.
But also the little girl zombie that Rick killed in the beginning was the same girl played the zombie in this episode as well. So if you kind of saw a zombie far off, it was not like a close-up. That's the same little girl 7 years ago, because she's like a teenager now, or, you know, a young adult.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, next on the likes list is the Traveler. And I'm not sure how you feel about him, but I like him. Like, him talking, he's like, yeah, someone threw a microwave at me. I just thought that was funny.
Like I said, I really didn't like the scene. It was just put there.
The Traveler?
The Traveler was put in the callback, which I just didn't like the whole thing. I mean, I didn't dislike it. It was just kind of weird to me. And the Traveler was especially weird to me.
Why is he weird?
Just giving his life story. Just yelling out. I mean, he don't know who is coming. Yeah.
I mean, I think, okay, it's what they teach you in a hostage situation. You start talking about yourself to make the person feel like, know that you're a human, you have a life. Like, I have kids, blur out anything you can that's personal about yourself.
But this is not really a hostage situation.
Well, it's a hostile situation.
It's not really hostile. He could have left any moment.
Yeah, but that must be his home since he came back.
That was the weird part.
Yeah, that is weird. But okay, actually, if you think about it, I thought it was weird Sunday night, but if you think about it, it's pretty smart. It's like, okay, those people came, they probably came, left, I can go back to my spot again. You know, if you keep running, they're running too.
But there's nothing there. If you're crying about food right now at that spot, you need to be moving on.
I mean, that's true too. That's true. I agree. I liked it also when he said, you know, something, the Quran. He's like, I shouldn't have said that. Like, that was funny. Like, you know, him not wanting to bring up the Quran or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a small joke, though. All right. Next on the list is Rick coming out shooting the traveler. I liked how Rick tried to justify it by saying, hey, I shot over his head, you know.
Now, that's when I started liking it. Okay. When he came out and shot in the air, because he came out of nowhere. I know it caught me off guard, and I saw you jump a little bit.
Yeah, even Carl. Carl looked at his gun like, shit, did I fire accidentally and not realize it? So
I think that was the best part of that whole scene, just Rick coming out of nowhere shooting in the air. And he was justified. I mean, that guy was, like Rick said, I heard him. I heard everything he was saying. But either he's a spy, which I think he is. Otherwise, he wouldn't have came back. It's like he came back to his post.
Okay.
He know better than lead a post. Maybe he gonna kill him if he left his post.
Well, if he's at his post, why didn't he just kill Carl? Like, none of the Negan people seem scared and try to act scared to me. Like, they all are kind of arrogant and tough, or at least try to act tough. So he doesn't fit the profile.
That's usually the leader of the little groups. All the leaders want to give a little speech. All of them want to be Negan. You know, they want to just talk loud, talk about how tough they are, talk a little too much and get killed.
Okay. Well, Carl telling Rick hoping the traveler makes it is not enough. And I like that because we've seen different sides of Carl. Carl that just does not give a fuck and will kill you on sight. And then we've seen Carl that gave way too many chances with, you know, Jesse's son back in, I think, season 5. It's like, dude tried to kill you twice now and you still let him go.
Yep.
And so he's learning and he doesn't want to become a part of that world like how Bob talked to Rick about. Like, don't think of this as the world now because there's going to be things you do that you can't never come back from. So seeing Carl grow and transition and see him learn from past mistakes, I liked. I liked him saying that. Like, you can't just say, oh, I hope he survived.
Well, I think everyone goes through those stages. We've seen Carol go through them where she was kill, kill, kill. Then she was like, I can't kill. We've seen Morgan go through them. We've seen Morgan go through more stages.
Yeah.
We see him kill, go crazy, protect his son, come back. Now he's killing again.
Right.
So everyone goes through those stages where they're just hoping there's something better out there.
It's like, this is not the life they want to lead. They don't want to have to kill. And even Rick said it to the group. He's like, okay, we're not doing this. We're not celebrating. Like, we're doing this because they gave us pretty much no choice. Either we kill them or they kill us.
Right.
All right, so throughout the episode, we see them take out the lookouts. I enjoyed all that. Them, you know, going up and stabbing people and going up and just killing people and killing the guy that was hanging up at the tree or on the top of the pole.
Like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he thought he was safe, that he could see everything from afar. And I would have thought that was the perfect lookout. So that was a good kill.
It was. I didn't understand that walker trying to climb the tree.
Yeah, well, the walker was just going to stay there forever trying to climb that tree rather than move on. I don't think it would have ever moved on. Because then as soon as it shot him and he shot him down, he started eating it. He turned around and left the tree alone and started eating the guy.
Yep. I don't think the walker would get tired or the walker. I don't know how the walker saw him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not just keep moving? But do you think there's a chance that the Walking Dead is trying to incorporate the fears walkers in there?
Not yet. Like, all last night or all Sunday night, it showed the walkers. They look, they still look like the Walking Dead walkers. They still, to me, they look different than the Fear Walkers. Now, as far as how they act, I didn't really see anything yet. I didn't notice anything. To me, the walkers still seem very different.
Okay.
All right, next, which I already mentioned, but it's Michonne telling Carl, you know, this is your show and she'll help him defend it. I don't know if she was saying that, like, just to keep him, you know, keep him in check because he's like, man, I want to go. She's like, I do too. Or if she really is saying, like, this is your show. Like, you're in charge here. And like Rick told Maggie, I'll follow you. If she's really saying, like, I'm going to follow you, Carl. You got this. Like, she doesn't see him no more as a little kid. She respects him and sees him as a man.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Yeah. And you know how soon it's been all been because she's like, I'm still hurting everywhere. Like, that girl really fucked her up, you know? So,
oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's only been like a few weeks.
Damn.
Yeah. And then also you saw the bandage on Rosita, which I'm like, why is Rosita still sitting mad? She looks so pretty, though. She was just sitting there.
Always pouting.
Just chill out, girl. Like, I don't even know how you can be mad that long. Like, it seems like it's so much energy to be mad for that long.
Pretty girls always have an attitude.
Like, it's too much.
She's an angry person.
Yeah.
Well, it's understandable. I mean, she came there, got her man stolen.
Yeah. But then it's like the girl that stole your man. Well, she's probably mad at that. Like, I can't even be mad at Sasha anymore because she's dead and she sacrificed herself for the team. So, like, if you start being mad at Sasha, then you're like a horrible person for being mad at someone that's dead that also sacrificed himself. So she's like double mad because she can't be mad. All right, Rick telling Maggie, after this, I'm following you. I liked it, but I don't believe it. Because Rick is always going to feel like he has to be front and center. Not that it's about him, but he always has to be in the mix of things.
I believe it. Maybe Rick's tired. He needs a break.
Okay. I mean, we saw him take one in season 4, as you mentioned. You know.
Yeah, he took one at the prison. Took a long break. And he probably need to clear his mind again.
All right, we'll see.
Probably remember how relaxing that was, sitting out gardening.
I am going to need Maggie to start showing, though. Like, I don't know if she says she's about to be in her second trimester or she was in her second trimester. She mentioned something about the second trimester.
I don't know why Maggie's out there fighting.
Yeah. Okay, see, part of me, I was kind of pissed off at first. Like, Maggie, what are you doing out there? But then second part of me thought, well, if you're going to die, you're going to die. It doesn't matter if you're pregnant or not. They're going to kill you. So go fight. She's fighting for her baby, her unborn baby. And if she wasn't out there, I do believe the Hilltop people would have left. Which is coming up on our list.
I don't know. I mean, she could have seen Jesus out there to represent her in this fight.
Jesus doesn't have that leadership skills, though.
Actually, he do. He's the one who said, no, we're not going anywhere. We're fighting with Maggie.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't see him as a leader. Like, I mean, if push come to shove, yes.
You see him as a solo artist.
I see him as a good soldier. Someone that can take good orders and that can do something.
I don't see him as a soldier at all. I see him in a leadership role, or I see him as a solo artist. Like, he's out there like we saw him before.
Yeah, when we first met him.
Yeah, he was out there doing his own thing. I mean, this guy knows karate.
Right. I keep forgetting he's a fighter.
I mean, once you learn karate, you're a solo artist.
Yeah.
You don't even need a gun.
All right, so we have some problems with this Negan situation, which we'll get to on our dislikes. But I did think it was funny in typical Negan fashion that he comes out and says, like, hey, I was in a meeting. Like, whatever. You know, sorry about this. I was in a meeting. It was just funny.
Yeah, Negan's a character. But I always think every time I see him and he come out unprotected, I'm like, why don't they just shoot him
with
now?
With his bat. Yeah, so. Which made our dislikes.
It's like. Yeah, Negan give him plenty of opportunities to kill him, to shoot him, and they don't. They sit there and listen to his speech.
Yeah, like, who does that?
And then the whole time they're giving a speech, he's in there with a big smile on his face.
Yeah. Everyone, like, is respectful. They each let each other have the floor and talk.
Yeah.
No one interrupts anyone in The Walking Dead. They might kill you, they might try to do all types of stuff, but they are not going to interrupt you when you were talking.
Yeah, that's you get sure. Your last words in.
Right. All right, so also was funny when Negan was like to Rick, you know, we don't have to measure like, whose dick is bigger than the others, and he's like, and mine is, or whatever. I don't know. It was funny. It was funny. Just like, if Negan wasn't such an asshole, he'd be like a fun person, because he's like, you know, his spirits are still up. He's still able to make jokes, like, in a dire situation, you know? So it's too bad he's like a killer.
I think that's part of his defense.
Is to make the jokes?
Just to make the jokes and sit there like nothing bothers him. Like, everything's a joke to him. Like, I'm unbothered.
Right.
You know, you're not going to beat me.
Which he did start making me nervous when he was like, you know, if you're wondering if you have the numbers, you don't. I was like, oh, shit. You know, because we don't know how many people are there. We've seen how, like, they killed a whole outpost and there were still a whole bunch of people. So,
yeah,
I was getting nervous. Like, damn, do they have, you know.
They were getting nervous.
Yeah, I could tell.
They were looking around like, what is he talking about?
Aaron, oh my gosh, he should get an Emmy just for, like, his eyes. Like, his eyes. Every time I showed Aaron, he looked hella scared. Like, they all looked scared, really. But Aaron, every time I showed him, his eyes got so big. Him and Eric, they both were like, they looked so scared. So they did a really good job. Yeah. I don't know what they were doing.
Hey, when you get those speaking roles, you got to do it. You got to work what they give you.
He's like, okay, man, I gotta be able to present this to other people to get more jobs. I'm going to have to just work with what I got. They didn't give me no lines. So I'm going to have to, like, you know, do those facial expressions really well. So he did a good job there. All right, so when Gregory comes out, his little bitch ass, and, you know, tells everyone.
Bitch ass.
You know what? I cannot stand Gregory. And he, like, just so reminded me of, like, slimy. Like, and I think that's what people were saying, like, how, why people hate Gregory so much is because he's so real. He, like, reminds you of, like, real life people and politicians.
That old manager you had or something.
Yeah, like he could have been your manager. He could be your local politician. He's so slimy. Like, he's like, yeah, the Hilltop stands with Negan. And it's like, dude, no, we don't. Clearly we don't. We're standing out here on the opposite side of Negan. So when Maggie tells her people, like, which shows that she's such a good leader, and she tells them, you know, do what you gotta do, when Gregory's like, your family's gonna get kicked out, to me, that wouldn't have made me say, oh, shit, let me go back to Hilltop. It would have made me say a bigger fuck you, you know? Like, now you're threatening to kick my family out?
Right, yeah. You can't go back to Hilltop.
Yeah. So,
like, he abandoned them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can't. You're not allowed to go back, dude. You left. So.
I mean, what's he going to do? Go there and pull out the deed to the property? You know, man, that's worth nothing now.
Yeah, it's nothing. So, it would have been like a Cersei Lannister. Remember when Ned Stark gave her the oath or thing that Robert wrote down, and she took it and ripped it up. This is nothing. That's what they would do to Gregory. Like, dude, this is nothing. R.I.P. Ned Stark. So I liked her saying that, like, rather than, like, y'all better not move, you know, me. I would have been like, y'all better stay still. We already practiced this. Y'all better chill. I got y'all. She was like, do what you got to do. And that would just show how calm, collected, and how such a good leader she is. So I really like that.
Yeah.
All right, Rick counting down to 7. When he started counting down, he stopped at 7 and started shooting.
Do I really have to count?
Yeah. And they said that was a callback, I believe, to when Negan came and did that to Rick. Like, he counted down. Like, season 6, I think. Either season 6 or season 7. Someone mentioned that it was a callback.
I remember him counting. But I don't think we wrote this down. And this may go into a dislike. This is just a damn near confused, really. When Rick started shooting, after all the dust settled or whatever, we saw Negan up under the stairwell.
Yeah, like under some thing.
And I'm thinking, like, how did he get up under there when he was close to the door and everybody else made it inside?
Well, remember, he came from outside. I mean, excuse me, he came from inside. Like, when all the shootings start coming, Negan came out and he was limping. He came outside, and then, like, I don't know why you would think he didn't just go deeper into the building, but remember, they were already out inside the building, and when all the shooting started, he came outside and came limping to the outside part and was, like, kneeling under that little area.
I wonder, did his people put him out?
Yeah, because when he came out, I was like, why did he come out? Like, it seems like, is this the only entrance to this building, or why didn't you go to the other side of the building, or something?
Yeah, because when the shooting started, I seen everybody run inside the door. Even, you know, Grimy Eugene made it inside the door. Like, everybody got inside, which that was a funny part. He said, like, I know your name.
He's like, Rick, Eugene is so slow. Eugene looked so sad, too. Like, when Rick was talking, he had his head down all sad.
had his hand over his forehead.
Yeah, that's what he did. He had his hand over his forehead. Like, shit, I made the wrong choice. Like, I'm on the wrong side. Stupid idiot.
And now you hear people want to say, hey, let's calm down for a second, Rick. Let's take a time out.
I thought Negan was going to kill that guy. Because it was almost like, okay, we're willing to negotiate with you. Just give us a second. That's how I took it. When that guy said, let's just calm down for a second. I thought Negan was going to kill him.
Like, how, man? This is war.
Right.
Like, we already have the guns out.
Talking.
And you talk about time out.
Talking happened a long time ago.
This is not a two-hand touch.
All right, so Carl going back and leaving the food for the Traveler, I like that. I thought it was sweet. I think we're going to see more of the Traveler. I hope to. I hope the Traveler becomes part of the cast.
I hope not. That dude was weird.
I liked him. Something about him I can't describe. I liked him.
He's just a more talkative version of the trash people.
Yeah, but he don't talk all weird.
Really, he did.
You think so?
I thought it was like a radio playing the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, at first, because they were talking too much, but he was probably just nervous.
He was talking loud, and he didn't sound nervous. You didn't hear a crack in his voice. I mean, he talked like he rehearsed it.
Okay, so you don't trust him, I trust him.
No, you didn't hear a crack. It was no pause. He done read down his life story, his attributes, everything. Yeah. I don't trust him.
All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, so now to the dislikes, and this first dislike I'll read off here because I accidentally wrote it on our likes list, and that's Pastor Gabriel going to save Gregory.
That wasn't a dislike for me.
It wasn't?
No, he's a man of the cloth.
No, but okay, that's almost like going to save Negan, like going back and saving Eugene. He wouldn't have saved Eugene. Why save Gregory?
Maybe he would have.
Okay.
I don't think he would have saved Negan, but then again, I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, well, now, yeah, he's with Negan. Who knows what's going to happen here? All right, so at first, this was, I think, a like, but after we start talking about it, it moved to a dislike. And that's the guy that Rick went and, like, stabbed. And as he sat there dying or laying there dying, he was talking shit. He was talking shit to Rick as he died. And we actually turned out, we're like, we actually did not like that.
Yeah, Rick showed such self-control right there. Like, I was proud of him. Because he didn't seem bothered by what the guy was saying. Like the guy was, you know, the old Rick would have been, you know, cutting the guy's head off. The guy thought something, yeah, you're going to bend the knee again. I'm going to watch you bend the knee. You can't beat us. I mean, the guy was disrespectful. So I'm glad that Rick can hold it together now. I didn't really dislike that scene. It was more of a like for me than a dislike. What I can say I disliked about it was the guy, you know, talking when he's about to die.
Yes.
But what else are you going to do? If I was in that same position, I guess I'd be talking shit too.
I hate when the people, like, talk shit right before they're dying. Like, oh, well,
you're going to die anyway.
Yeah, but, like, why? Like, what does it do at this point?
I hate when I see people beg for mercy. Like, Rick, no. It wasn't me. It was Negan this whole time. No,
to me, that would make more sense than talking shit. Like, he was like, your son's going to die. So, actually, I don't agree with you. I don't think Rick held his full composure because that's why he let the walker go to eat him.
Well, he was going to kill him anyway.
Yeah, but he let him die horrible because of the fact that he said, your son's going to die.
But, I mean, look how long he held his composure. Look how long he sat down, flipped through pages or whatever he was looking through, looked through the guy bag. And everything. I mean, he held his composure for a long time. I mean, I would have been ran up and kicked him in the face.
Yeah.
Shut up. Well, he held his mouth or something.
Right.
Shut up right now. But Rick held his composure, walked over to the walker, cut him loose. I mean, why not? Why not? I mean, you was holding the walker hostage. Let me set this walker free.
I don't know if you can hold a walker hostage.
He had him tied up.
Walker writes. All right, so next is, like, I know it's only me. We've talked about this. Ezekiel is a little too much for me this
episode. Only Nicole.
And just a little too, like, come on.
I love Ezekiel's dedication. I mean, I would have been a broke character.
Right, he's too extra.
Wait, shit started getting a little too real. You know, I'm turning back into Gary.
Well, because he said something to, what did he say to Pastor Gabriel earlier, right?
Yeah.
He said, or no, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
He's just extra. Like, it's just too much, you know. The hilltop, it's okay. The hilltop has a spot for you or whatever.
It's perfect.
It's like, dude, I just assumed we would all, like, no one would be left homeless after this bullshit, you know? And to me, it's like, no, you go back to the hilltop. What is Gregory gonna do? He can't do nothing. Like, the hilltop is no longer Gregory's.
I mean, I love his dedication to being king.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't broke character yet.
Yeah.
You know, the hand of the king has a broke character. And you know, when stuff start getting a little too real, guns start firing, your bullet get too close, you'll be like, oh shit, god damn, hold on now.
Right.
You know, you break character, you know, you're no longer the king. But he has held it together. I'm proud of him. I love him.
Now, do you think they should stay with their three communities, or should they all go to one spot so they're safer in numbers?
I don't think they're safer in one spot.
Okay, because then also they might not, each community has everything that the other communities have.
Right. Some communities you can't grow.
Right.
Some you can't. What was that you can't grow? There's one community that stuff stopped growing.
I can't remember if that was Hilltop or Alexandria. I can't remember where that happened at.
So I think they need all three. And then you don't want to put everybody all in one area. It makes it easier to get to. Like, once they wipe out this community, they wipe you out.
Yeah. I did wonder, like, remember when Daryl killed those guys, like bombed them or whatever, like those big nukes or whatever they're called. I did wonder where the, because they had like two more that Negan took from them. So like, why didn't Negan use that? Like, where are those? Or do they not have access to these? And like, what's going on with that? Machines?
Like rocket launchers,
yeah,
or something.
Like the rocket launchers. Exactly. And I was like, wait, where are those at? No one's using those.
That'd be a good callback.
Yeah, that would. Like, if boom, it's like, oh shit, I forgot about those. All right, two more dislikes. And we kind of already discussed this one, but it's like, why didn't anyone get the hit on Negan as soon as he walked out? And yes, we understand he's a villain. He's going to be here for a while. But I would have at least let them see them shoot at him and maybe miss, or even shoot at him and it hit him in the shoulder or something. And nothing. Like, they didn't even attempt to shoot at him.
Right, he came out with a little bat.
Right, did his speech, walked back in. I mean, it was crazy.
Walked back in, grabbed Gregory.
Right.
Walked out, gave him a little speech. They got to take any opportunity they could get to kill this guy.
Right.
Like, if Rick really wanted to kill him when he was on the ground, I mean, Rick, you're trying to kill him for the community. You would sacrifice yourself.
Yeah, you're right. You said it's not about you.
It's not about you. You should have went in there. You should have made sure he was dead.
Yeah. All right, this next dislike is kind of similar to the previous one, but all the rounds that were going off. There were so many bullets going off from Rick's side and then on Negan's side. And we saw like a few, looks like Neganites or whatever, on the ground. But I think they were on the ground more from the fire. I'm not sure. But it's like all those rounds, and it felt like no one was getting hit, you know?
Yeah, nobody got hit.
But then here we are, Daryl on his bike, and he, every time he shot, he didn't have to shoot twice at a target. He shot only one time at a target and was able to make the mark every single time. Sometimes he wasn't even looking. He was just driving, and he passed it and then, shot behind him. And it's like, he still, I mean, he looked cool, but I'm like, okay, he don't have to, like, it would have been cooler or more realistic if he, like, missed it. He's like, oh, shit, I gotta circle back and, like, shoot again, even just one time. But they had to make it every time.
I just think they could have did a better job. Like, you know, they waited till they started shooting and everything. Then they rolled the little RV in there.
Right.
And I think they probably should have did that from the get-go. Rolled the RV in there. Had a couple of bums strapped to it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And just as soon as Nigga came out, said, well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm talking now because I've seen the show.
Yeah. I mean, it was still good. It was really good. But yeah, there was just a few things they could have did differently.
Yeah, I'm one of those people always talk about what I would have did.
Right. You're not writing for the show, so. All right. So next we have our listener letters. If you guys would like to be part of the podcast, hit us up, dead@theverdictsin.com or on facebook.com/verdictsin or on Twitter @theverdictsin, and we'll discuss your feedback on the podcast. Also, be sure to leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out. There's probably about 50 Walking Dead podcasts out there, so we could use all your help with getting discovered by more potential listeners. All right, so we have two comments today from Darth Mule. It's so good to hear back from you. The first one has to do with Fear the Walking Dead. So since Fear just came off, I figured, yes, it's related. Let's go ahead and discuss real quick. And he says, let's start with Fear the Walking Dead and my feelings on it. I still like it, but it can be a whole lot better. And I will agree. Like, season 3, if you guys weren't watching, if you gave up on Fear, I would suggest going back. Season 3 was pretty good.
It was. It was great.
Like, go to different locations. That would be nice. Change their formula. Like, the group needs to stop separating and meeting each other again. Like, a day or so. That's getting old.
Yeah, they're not separating that long.
Yeah, they do separate for a day or two. And then, oh, they're back together. Like, when Elite... Well, I don't want to spoil it. But, like, one of the characters left. And I'm like, that's going to be interesting. Her on her own. And it's like, oh, no. She's back again. One episode later.
Next day.
Right. They should treat the show like Game of Thrones. 3 to 4 different storylines. Then meet up once in a while. Like, Diana and Alicia would have been just the two of them, a awesome storyline, and I agree. Troy and Nick, just the two of them, would have been awesome as well. And that's messed up. They haven't brought Alex back and already hurt Diana. Diana is an awesome character, and the weapon she used is good for zombies. So, yeah, I agree. Like, if you guys recall, back when Fear started, the little commercials that they're showing in Walking Dead right now, like the machete thing they showed...
Yeah.
It used to be Fear, the Walking Dead. It, like, had to do with eventually the next season of Fear.
Or the same season.
And
somehow, you know, they kind of met in the middle.
Right. But now it's like they don't even mention Fear and it has nothing to do with it. And the girl, Alex, from the plane, it was so interesting, that plane story and the plane crashing. And it's like, what the hell? What happened to her? Yeah. So, and then Diana, we just got the new character. And now it's like, okay, is she going to be back? So, without spoiling it too much for you guys, but... Thank you, Darth Maul. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. They definitely, hopefully they can learn. It just seemed like they're getting better each year.
Well, I think they took a step back. They got pretty good. Last season was great.
Mm-hmm.
And this season was just, I mean, there was just a couple of things good about this season. And that was the trading post,
right, which
I would love to see that in The Walking Dead.
They could just have a whole trading post.
I mean, that's some Star Wars shit.
Yeah.
Just have a little trading post.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think their walkers are better.
Yeah, their walkers are really, really cool. Advanced walkers. All right, so let's talk about The Walking Dead. First episode was awesome. Lots of suspense and action. Get to the point. Yes, my old school Morgan is back. Kill only when you need to kill. Eugene, I can't wait to see what happens to him. Like, will he die against Rick's crew? Or when Rick takes over, just vanish Eugene like they did with Troy in Fear?
You know what? I don't even think he asked Eugene to come, to step up. Because when Eugene was about to say something, he said, I know your name.
Yeah. Well, he said U5, and I think Eugene was part of the 5.
I thought he said just the lieutenant.
No, he actually said numbers. He's like, U5.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Darth Mule continues, I can't see Eugene surviving this world alone. You know what Eugene would do? He can always, like, go and start his lie over again somewhere else. Like, that's the only thing that he has going for himself. You know, like, oh, I've been surviving this long with the group, but they're all dead now. Don't go south or don't go to Virginia. There's some bad people out there. And then
you have to go to D.C.
Yeah, we got to go to D.C. And he goes, Fear and Walking Dead, I just forward that Rick Grandpa stuff and Madison Christmas stuff. He fast forwarded. So you didn't like the Rick Grandpa stuff. Grandpa. I didn't mind the Rick stuff.
I thought about it. I thought it was like more like a grandpa. Like, they made him a little too old. They made him, like, much older than what he should have been. I thought that also.
Because the little girl, Judith, she could, like, for a minute, remember, I was like, that's going to be Carl's daughter, and she's going to say, like, Grandpa. And then you're like, No, we already saw her. I don't know. I thought
that was Rick.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my bad.
It would have made more sense. Well, when they showed Michonne.
Yeah, they showed Michonne, right.
So Michonne looked like 10 years younger.
Yeah.
10 years younger, and Rick looking 10 years older.
Well, you know, Michonne, she's been working on Black Panther. She's just living life. She's looking good. She has zero worries right now. So life is good for her. All right. Yeah, but the I will agree, the Madison Christmas bullshit, that was what it was, bullshit. On That's on Fear. Okay, thank God there's a fast forward button. Right. All right, and then he has another question. Gary and I were just talking about, like, should we discuss it on the podcast? And we kind of agreed that we should. So it says, one last thing, a personal question for you guys. I'm starting to see a lot happening in movie and TV shows about us black people, like making us weak, in my opinion. Like Morgan, for a while, he wouldn't even kill, not even for self-defense or protect anyone else from getting killed. Now Gabriel risked his life for Gregory, and Gregory left him. And remember when Gabriel... wouldn't kill for the longest time. Yeah, Gabriel was like super scared. They also did this Tyrese Netflix series, Luke Cage, make them all soft. Hopefully you guys get my point. Thanks for the hard work you two do.
Well, first of all, I agree with you like 250%, maybe 300%, 500%, that in all of these shows, and even in Walking Dead, and it didn't start with Tyrese, it started with the guy named T-Dog. And you know, my first reaction when I saw T-Dog, like, where did they get that name from? Like T-Dog. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's happening like Tyrese had with Bill.
Bill?
Oh, Bob. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I softened his name. Had with Bob. And I do see it on shows like Luke Cage and all these other shows. And like I said, I'm in agreement with you. And I don't know why. I don't know why they, you know, soften up these characters. Like in a scene where you have a big ass Tyrese, we see how strong he is. He didn't kill the dude with his bare hands,
right?
But you know, he got whooped up by Rick real quick,
and then let that guy live, the guy that was threatening to kill baby Judith,
right?
And then lied about it.
And first of all, they had him babysitting.
Yeah,
I mean, this dude, you know, he would have been a big advantage to the fight and stuff. He's big, strong, but he's the babysitter,
and they let him get his ass whooped by Rick. Remember when Rick was his
ass? You know, he got his ass beat like quick by Rick.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you think about it, and you know, just to kind of justify the couple of things we see in The Walking Dead, is that like Pastor Gabriel? Yeah, he went out and he risked his life for the guy that wouldn't even risk his life for him. But you know, you could justify that by saying, okay, yeah, he's a pastor. So that's how I try to look at it. Who else, when it come to Morgan, can't kill, which, you know, Nicole hated the Morgan story, you know, she hated that, but I actually love that the Morgan can't kill, but they didn't make him like this extra soft, that extra, you know, although I understand you can't kill, but you'll have to be a crybaby about it.
Right.
Well, what do you have to say about that, Nicole?
Okay, so I'll be real quick with my opinions, and then we'll get back to the show, and hopefully we're not offending anyone. But yes, I would say I definitely see this in all the TV shows pretty much that I watch. And what I think is happening is that due to history in television shows and how black people were generally portrayed, which is usually, unfortunately, in a negative light, these shows, they're trying to be, they think what they're doing is showing diversity, but they end up all being the same. So they all have these formulas where they have to have like, they have to have a gay person. They have to have, interracial relationships. They have to have the good black guy. Like nothing's wrong with any of these things, but they all end up doing these things just to make sure it doesn't look like there is any,
right.
Any discrimination, excuse me, or, you know. So the problem with that happens when you don't have diversity in the writing room, where these people can't write characters. They're so scared of they're so scared. They don't want T-Dog. If T-Dog was a thug, then people would say Walking Dead was racist. So instead, they kept the T-Dog name because it's from the comic books.
Well, actually, they made T-Dog a thug at first.
Was T-Dog supposed to be a thug?
He started off as a thug.
Okay. But my thing is, this is what happens pretty much when you don't have diversity in the writing room. Like, if you watch shows like Atlanta or Insecure, you know, the characters are, no one's perfect, but they're a little bit more real of what you'd see, right, in real life versus... Right. These shows where, like, every black dude is just, like, the nicest guy possible. And that's just not life. That's, you know, I mean, it does in some ways portray life, but it's to the point where it's like, okay, you guys, you're going too far with it.
And you could tell in the first season they didn't have enough, you know, diversity inside the writing room, because T-Dog, you know, he used to use, like, old lingo. Like, it was like, like they... They got to do that out of a 70s show or something. You know, you're saying like, man, you can't touch me, fool. You know, saying something like that. I'm like, where did they get this guy from?
Just the name T-Dog. I'm like, okay, clearly this was not written by a person of color. Get away from
you, Jive Turkey. You know, he was saying, T-Dog was saying stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, it was just all wrong. You know, this show came out in the 2000s.
He probably said, where's my Glock? Or, you know, like, every stereotype. Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible. So, pretty much the answer to your question, it's because there's no diversity in the writing room. Or at least that's my opinion.
Not enough. Yeah. Not enough diversity.
All right, so thank you so much for writing in. Moving on to the next question. Thank you very much. Hopefully we didn't offend anyone. That's just our opinion there. All right, so we have an email from Chantel. Great to hear from you.
And hey, Chantel.
She goes, it was so good to hear your guys' voices on Instant Cast. I didn't get a chance to binge watch GOT or Fear. So she's staying away from spoilers. And she said, Tiffany, I can feel your side eye from here. Yes, I'm like, okay, I understand you not binge watching Fear, but how have you not watched Game of Thrones? Like, it was so good.
Wow.
So much stuff. I feel like spoiling everything for you right now. No, I'm just joking. So I will actually write you back, Chantel, to make sure you skip some of this that we were talking about since we did bring up a little bit of Fear stuff here. All right, now onto the premiere. I don't know what to think or feel. I'm conflicted. On one hand, I'm like, On the other hand, there were things that made me want to do a slow clap to fast clap for the writers. Here are my notes. Well, the highlights. I don't want to bore you guys. Never that. At first, I didn't know what to make of the flash forward to sweaty, maybe crying Rick, and then the flash forward to old man Rick and black don't crack Michonne. I told you, it's that Black Panther money coming in. Life is good. She's like, I'm good. Y'all want me here?
Y'all can't make me look old.
Yeah, y'all can't make me look old. I'm too happy right now in life. But she said, but the more I think about it, I think it's setting the stage for us to have moments like that thoughtful throughout this season, excuse me, which is what I said. I would love to see that flash forward, not the crying Rick or whatever's going on there, but the flash forwards of Judith older. You saw they dodged Carl. We heard Carl's voice, but it didn't show us his face. So, right. Like, what he looks like now.
Probably gonna have Rick playing him.
Hopefully they won't do him like they did the Harry Potter kids at the end of season, at the end of episode, or the final Harry Potter
movie. Put a mustache movie. And beard on them.
Yeah, they put, like, fake wrinkles on. They still look like little kids playing adults or whatever. Yeah, so she contains little snippets of this would be cool, like the Sunday dinner that Rick imagined the beginning of season 7. This makes me worry about Michonne's safety. She was so perfect looking in the flash forward that it seems like this is how Rick has decided to preserve her in his mind.
Oh, wow.
That is good.
That's good.
Like, she ain't gonna make it, or they could be pulling a Shonda Rhimes and are allowing us to see a peaceful existence for Rick now because he is never really gonna get that. Maybe he isn't going to make it, and this is as close as we'll get to seeing him really peaceful and happy, and that is kind of devastating.
That's good.
Yeah, that's pretty deep. And now that you said that, maybe that's why we didn't see Carl. Because if they showed Carl, Carl probably would have had two eyes, and we'd be like, okay, this can't be real. You know? Right. So that might have made us know that it's not real. If Carl didn't have the eye thing on. Okay, so we're getting somewhere.
Then Judith was the same age, but she was talking?
No, Judith was older. But maybe that's what he pictures, just an older, young, still innocent girl, you know? The systematic takeout of the lookouts reminded me of the raid on the Savior Outpost in season 6. It makes me very uneasy. Yeah, I mean, I see what she's saying. Remember when they killed the people in their sleep and we were all like, ugh, that seems a little wrong, even though now we know how horrible the Saviors are, but...
Yeah.
And what she's saying is now at this time you were just picking people off, you know.
Well, we understand why now.
Yeah, I didn't really feel that bad about it.
It's like a different situation. I mean, I think we felt bad about this. Well, I don't know why we felt bad. It was just so wrong.
I think it was just sick. It was our humanity that was like,
yeah, it was just so wrong.
You know?
Because although we seen the stuff they were doing, saw the pictures on their bed.
Right.
It just still felt so wrong for them to be taking them out in their sleep.
Right.
But I didn't feel that bad watching them getting taken out in their outpost.
Yeah, because they got taken out while they were doing dirt. Like, they were on the lookout so they can kill you.
They were on a job.
Yeah. So, but I see what you're saying. All right, she continues, why doesn't someone just shoot Negan? My God, take the shot. There were about 20 guns trained on that doorway at least, and no one thought just to take him out while he was standing there all willy-nilly running his mouth.
Right.
Yeah, we discussed that. How does this guy avoid getting shot? It's like our group has the aim of stormtroopers when they are dealing with the saviors. And honestly, yeah, as fine as Jeffrey Dean Morgan is, I'm tired of Negan. They need to wrap up this storyline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going like a little past his time, past his due time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see him throughout the whole season. I really do. I don't think he's
going to. Well, especially if this is a flashback.
Yeah. They're going to ride this out. Or a flash
forward, whatever it is.
You saw how they rode the governor out. They're going to ride this out for as long as they can. At least this whole season. He may be back next season as well. But we'll see.
I don't think so.
Last thought. Lord Carl, don't take food to the gas station guy. I know you mean well, but these are trying times. Also, gas station guy is kind of hot. Maybe he'll be around for a while. You know what? Something about him was intriguing. And maybe he was kind of cute or something. Like, he reminds me of someone, but I just can't put my finger on it who he reminds me of. But I should have looked him up. Maybe I saw him in something else. But when I saw him, I immediately liked him. Probably one of the people
that got kicked out of Alexandria.
Yeah. No. Well, maybe. Yeah. But I do like Gas Station Guy. I've been calling him the Traveler, and I hope he comes back. Well, those are the highlights from my nerdy notes. So glad you guys are back. Take care, Chantel. And Chantel's Twitter feed is at Fashion and Faith if you guys want to follow her on Twitter. Thank you so much for writing in.
Right, thank you.
All right. Now for our award and prediction. I ain't fearing shit.
I'm going to have to give it to Negan. I'm just going to have to give it to him.
Okay.
I mean, we already said it. I mean, Negan cannot be touched. I mean, this guy hears all the gun firing, gunshots, and he comes out with a bat.
Right.
With his bat. That's it. The whole time they were standing there with the gun talking, wanting him to surrender, and he gets in there smiling and giggling the whole time. He's like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
He's just so funny. But Negan is never fearing shit. Even when Pastor Gabriel came inside the RV or whatever the little trailer he was in,
mm-hmm.
He was like, I hope you wore your, what, shitting diaper?
Yeah, your shitting pants or whatever.
Shitting pants. I mean, all he had then was his bat. I mean, Pastor Gabriel had a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention my dislike.
Yeah.
Because I dislike that scene. Like, he's talking shit, and Pastor Gabriel like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Pastor Gabriel, you have a gun in your hand.
Right. Turn around and shoot it.
Just kill him now.
And Darth Mule's, what he was saying, will probably come even more true if we see Pastor Gabriel, like, try to talk some sense into Negan. Or, like, try to rationalize with him, like, okay, maybe, you know, it's not too late. Like, we could talk to Rick. We can probably live together. Like, if they try to pull that shit, I'll really be mad.
I'm going to throw the TV. But yeah, that's my not. I ain't fearing shit. It's Negan.
All right.
And I don't even think there's a close second. Well, I can't say close second. You know, Mag being out of there pregnant.
Mag. I ain't fearing shit.
I'm bringing my baby with me anywhere. I don't have a babysitter.
Yeah, I mean, at first it was a dislike, but then I realized, okay, everyone has to fight. Like, if she, you know, like, was it on Game of Thrones when Jon's like, okay, not everyone's going to have to learn how to fight. Not just men, boys, girls, women, children, you know, everyone. So I kind of feel like it's that type of situation right now. Like, no one is excluded due to the fact that it's such serious time. And hopefully she'll come out okay. If she doesn't, she doesn't. Because that's how serious everything is right now. You know, it's just like the little kids. The little kids may have to fight. Carl's not that little, but the kids are fighting. Enid's out there. It's no more protecting women and children. Everyone's on the front line.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think they would go as far as killing Maggie. That'd be pretty sick, but I don't know. Or kill her hurting the baby or whatever. All right, so my I ain't fearing shit, I'm going to give it to Dwight. Like, every time he was scribbling a note, sending, shooting arrow, I was like, this dude is going to get caught like the whole time. I was like, oh my gosh. And when they catch him, it is going to be, oh, it's going to be scary for him. Like,
burn even the other side of his face.
When Rick, excuse me, I was going to call him Regan. When Rick goes, Dwight. And I was like, oh shit, is Rick about to snitch on Dwight? Because that was the first name he said. And then it was like a pause. And he's like, Simon. I was like, whoo. Because I know Dwight had to be shitting his pants at that moment. Like, oh shit, Rick is about to betray me. So I thought Dwight, I mean, not that I forgive him. Like I said, he can't be redeemed in my book. Maybe he can go start a new life, him and Eugene, and like act like their past never happened.
I don't think him and Eugene's on the same level. Eugene cannot come back.
No. I mean, that's what I mean. They should go off together.
Dwight, and start a new life. I can live with Dwight.
No way. No way. You have to remember all the shit. They tortured Daryl. Like, no way. No. It's not happening. Dwight, I don't care how much you help him.
See, you're taking this personally.
I don't care how many little notes you send them. Thank you. But, dude, we won't kill you. You can go on your own way, though. You ain't staying here. Next thing you know, he'll betray you guys. He just can't be trusted. Yeah. He can't.
All right, let's move on.
All right, most likely to die.
When I was saying let's move on, I was going to ask you that question. Okay. You first.
Most likely to die, I'm going to say...
And before Nicole say anything, Nicole is the spoiler. Nicole is like extra good with the most likely to die.
Yeah, if y'all listen to our fear like all season long, I was predicting
Nicole
deaths.
Nicole predict the death, how they die, what they're thinking when they die, what time of day it is.
It's approximately 3 p.m. No, I'm going to say most likely die is going to be Gabriel. Like, he just had way too many talking lines. Walking Dead, they don't ever try to change their formula. Like, everyone gets to talk. You know, they're going to miss him, see how Rick and them were looking for him. And, you know, what it, no, that I keep thinking that Ezekiel said something to Pastor Gabriel, but he said something to Jesus. But I just think, I have a feeling that he's going to die. Because, like, they're going to try to make it like, oh, he died because he saved such a horrible person, Gregory. And, like, they're going to try to do that, oh, boo-hoo, he came such a long way from the scary pastor to now this. But, like, honestly, I think it's silly that Pastor Gabriel still walks around with his, like, uniform on. Like, dude, you're up shooting people. To me, it's a little disrespectful that you have a pastor uniform on when you're shooting people.
It's all in the name of the Lord, though. It's for good.
Yeah, how many of those uniforms do you have? Like, did you bring a few with you? Because, like, it's always clean. Like, the little white collar, it's always clean.
You know, like he's doing something.
I'm just saying.
He's not doing nothing all day, but inside his little steeple.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Jesus don't have to walk around with his, like, a karate uniform on for us to know that he knows karate. Pastor Gabriel don't have to walk around with that
on. You're right about that. Because, you know, growing up, watching Seventh Heaven, you know, he didn't always have his little priest outfit on.
Oh, I was like, Jesus on Seventh Heaven? You're talking about the pastor from Seventh Heaven.
The pastor from Seventh Heaven. Yeah. You know, he just had a buttoned-up shirt sometime to see chilled out.
Yeah, that actor's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Gabriel, he's just always in uniform.
Okay. So who do you got most likely to die? Seventh Heaven was an odd callback. Just want to say that real quick.
But, you know, I couldn't think of no other show that just always had a pastor on it. Okay. That's the only show I could just think of at this time that just had a pastor on all the time. But, you know, he wore regular clothes from time to time.
Right.
But, get out of here. Most likely to die, I would have to say... This is a tough one. I'm going to have to go with Pastor Gabriel also.
Okay.
I think he's going to die.
Yeah. All signs point to it.
Yeah, he's going to try to reason with Negan. Look at me trying to beat you. And just praying that it happens like this.
Yeah.
So let's try to reason with Negan. Negan's not going to like what he's going to hear, what he's hearing. And he's going to hit with the bat.
Well, see, I think it's going to be a little different than that. I think he's going to try to reason with Negan, and they're going to figure out a way to get out of there. And then, like, once again, when it thinks, okay, all's well, Negan's just going to hit him with the bat. Like, but it's going to be after he thinks he made it to safety. Like, oh, that was a tough one. I don't know how we got out of that one. Like, somehow they're going to get out of that. But he's still not going to make it, which is going to make it even more sadder. Like, oh, shit, you know.
Man, this better not happen like that. It better not.
That's our prediction.
Or next time in our prediction, I'm just going to say, just give me a name. I don't want to know how. will lead up to it.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
All right.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we greatly appreciate it. So right now we are covering just The Walking Dead, but as well as Empire, so not just The Walking Dead. So we're covering Walking Dead and Empire. So if you watch Empire, it's on its fourth season. Catch us on that feed there. Other than that, we shall be back next week, hopefully with an instant cast. I believe we're doing instant cast now. If it's just, if it's really good, we'll do an instant cast.
That's how it is. Spectacular.
Yeah, it has to be good. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary. Bye.